Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We return to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Brought to you by World of Spas, Edmonton's number one hot tub and swim spa dealer. The ideal place to start your daily vacation on Oilers Radio. 630 Chad.
534 in Edmonton. It's Brendan Escott chatting at you as Bob makes his way, or potentially already is, in Grand Prairie. But something's going on up there in the northwestern part of the province tonight. And he's a busy guy ahead of playoffs. Puck drops Monday at 8 o'clock. He and Jack Michaels have the call. Faceoff show starts at 6. I guess we start at 4. We're all hockey basically all the time. Until we tell you otherwise, that's what 630 Chad has become. Because frankly, I think that's kind of what the city is all about. We live for this time of year. And I know that some guests of ours do live for these gift certificates that we have to Roost Chris Steakhouse. Whether you're celebrating a special moment or simply savoring a night on the town, every meal is an occasion at Roost Chris Steakhouse. And they want you to know they're open Monday. They aren't usually, but there's a game Monday night I've been telling you about. So if you want to catch a pregame porterhouse or whatever it is, they've got you covered. And you can even wear your jersey in there, which you also would not normally be allowed to do. There you go. Daily Faceoff's Frank Saravalli is coming right up here. And we're going to join him on the River Cree Resort Casino Hotline. I'll tell you about their $100,000 birthday vault with golden ticket draws every month. See guest services for details. Must be 18 plus. Just trying to let my mouth and my brain synchronize there for a minute. But yeah, let's head off to the River Cree Resort Casino Hotline. I love that he joins us a couple of times a week because he's always breaking it down. And boy, has there ever been a lot to break down this week between the end of the regular season and, of course, what's going on in Utah as well. But let's start in Edmonton with Frank, who's brought to you by Horse Racing Alberta. Racing returns on May 4th at Century Mile Racetrack and Casino. For more, go to thehorses.com. Frank, I think we've all seen the ups and downs the regular season can bring, and we've been riding the emotional roller coaster. But this game 83, this the real season's about to begin, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is you try to just wipe the slate clean, right, of whatever happened, not just in the last game, but for certain players, I'm sure, probably the last 2 weeks. I mean, you heard Sheldon Keefe and his quip about William Nylander basically saying, hey, I think he kind of checked out and was ready for playoffs a couple weeks ago. So there's some teams that are going to go in on a high note, some teams that are just okay with where they're at, and others that sort of were left wanting more. The best part is, for the most part, none of it really matters.
Yeah, it's interesting to hear from other markets now. I'm listening to NHL Network Radio this morning, and they've got the most confidence in the Oilers over the Kings entering these round one series right across the NHL. And I think a large part of the reason for that is just the proven body of work over the last two playoffs in terms of being able to deal with what Los Angeles can throw at them. The other weird angle is you've got two teams now matched up in round one, Frank, after quite a circus to even get this matchup, by the way, but two teams that have moved on from their head coaches during this season, now dropping the puck in round one as well.
And look, that's sort of the amazing part of this, right? I mean, the Oilers were 81 seconds away in game 1312. That's how long it took the very last game of the regular season to nail down a couple matchups in the Western Conference. I mean, if you think about it, that's bananas. So from an oil perspective, I mean, there's certainly a familiarity And I think maybe the most important point is there's also a roadmap here, a lesson plan, a blueprint of what not to do. And the Oilers have gotten away with it the last couple years, but the best teams that go on the deepest runs that are ultimately successful in winning the Stanley Cup, one of the big things is trying to have a quick series, pocket a quick series at some point in the four rounds. And I'm not professing to say that this is going to be one, but think about how the Oilers stubbed their toe, at least just in the last two times they played the Kings. Both times they dropped game one. There was a game in L.A., and the series kind of run together for me, but I remember one time the Oilers showed up, and it kind of looked like in L.A., like they were at the beach the day before. There's a business-like approach to this. There is a methodical, attention to detail, game face way that the Oilers can show up that, one, could it make their lives easier, and two, could tell me and a lot of other people that this team is learning from some of the mistakes that they've made previously and that this run is going to be different than others before it.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting to think about some of the bugaboos in the previous attempts to make the Stanley Cup final. Things like inexperience. Well, you've experienced an awful lot in the last 3 or 4 years. Did you have enough size in the lineup? Well, you've got Evander Kane and Corey Perry is playing real big for his britches, and I'm excited to see how that translates. And then you wonder about goaltending, and that might be the remaining question mark for some out there as that goes. But, you know, even I think of a guy, Frank, like Adam Henrique, in terms of the experience between him and Perry, I wonder how much further that might be able to usher things along this year for Edmonton, given that combination with the experience of now Edmonton's core group, too.
I think you cannot underestimate or underappreciate exactly that type of spot that Corey Perry is going to be in. You play in three, you win a cup, but then you play in three Stanley Cup finals in a row, and you are that close. You better be sure that he's going to be in there and not barking, because that's not in his nature. I've spent a lot of time around Corey Perry in my career. He's got this easy way about him that I think people really pay attention to. This is one of those reasons why he's there. Did he help solidify, Edmonton's top nine? For sure. But were they also counting on really his contract starting at this exact moment in time and thinking about it that way? I'm sure that was definitely a big part of it too. And a reason why they wanted him is because the puck drops in the playoffs and you don't have to question whether Corey Perry is going to show up or not.
Chatting with Daily Faceoff's Frank Saravalli for the Horses, Horse Racing Alberta. And what theater it was last night to even get to the point where the matchups are what they are now. All Vegas had to do was pick up a point, and they were unable to do so against Anaheim. Okay, so that's one angle of this. And then Los Angeles takes a 3-1 lead into the third period, promptly coughs that up to Chicago, falls down 4-3, and then pick up the requisite point to make this now what it is. Is that the wildest like final day of the NHL season in your memory?
No, because I covered a game that was win and get in, the Flyers Rangers 2010, and it was one of those teams was making the playoffs. This is game 82. One of those teams is going home, and it went to a shootout, and the Flyers, who had the worst record in the history of the shootout to that point, beat Henrik Lundqvist, of all people, in a shootout. So the Flyers then were the 7 seed and ended up going to the Cup Final. So that was the craziest end of the regular season that I covered, but the way last night unfolded, just to potentially change the fate of some teams, I think this worked out tremendously for the Oilers. I think having that familiarity and confidence going into playing LA is important. And I just think the Golden Knights are way more dangerous The Kings might be able to beat you, but when I size these two teams up, the paths that I can envision for Vegas, there's many more of them to win a series against Edmonton than I think there are for the Kings.
When you look around at other series in the NHL postseason, what has piqued your interest the most?
The Battle of Florida is going to be phenomenal. The fact that those two teams, they weren't really likely to play each other for a while. And Boston just absolutely spit the bit. It was almost like the Bruins were trying to play the Leafs in round one. That's how disinterested they looked in the last two games. That'll be really interesting. Two teams that, you know, you remember a few years ago when Tampa went on to win the Stanley Cup. That first round series that we got between Florida and Tampa, the Panthers tried to run Tampa straight into row three of the arena. They never budged. Tampa was like, yeah, we can play that way too, no problem. Now Florida has gotten to the Cup final more recently than Tampa, and two highly skilled physical teams that, by the way, both have great, Russian Vezina, Conn Smythe caliber goaltenders in net. It's going to be fantastic, but to me, the series of the first round is Colorado-Winnipeg.
Interesting. That one was set in stone a few days ago, and you see the importance to Colorado when you look at the lineup they dressed last night and the fact that they obviously want to get up to speed again because they've been laboring into the playoffs. Again, Frank Saravalli is on the line with us for another few minutes here, courtesy of Horse Racing Alberta. Offense was, it was kind of the showcase of the league this year when you think about not only a couple of hundred assist guys in Kucherov and McDavid, but Matthews in his pursuit of 70 coming up just short. Not to say that there's anything wrong with 69 goals. I mean, that is absolutely preposterous, but it wasn't that long ago that, and I know this is sort of the reference point for a lot of people, but Jamie Benn's 87 points. I think there must have been 20 or 25 guys this year that finished with a higher point total than that. So
the number is exactly 20. 20 guys would have won the Art Ross in 2015.
I mean, that is, to me, that's a great sign for the league because I feel now like I can turn on pretty well any game and be, you know, kind of lit up with some offense, and that hasn't been the case even in recent memory. So what is there any explanation for that this year, or is it just kind of a boom of some of the players and hitting their prime?
I think it's a few things. I think without, you know, we could spend a whole half hour talking about just that. I would say part of it is a significant advantage that shooters right now have over goaltenders. Their equipment has been reined in and checked. They've realized the importance of getting goalies to move. You're not just seeing players rip the puck for the most part. It's mostly cross ice, you know, Royal Road type plays. That's one thing. Two, the skill is as good or better than it's ever been. That contributes to the first part. Three, I also think it's fair to say that with the addition of two more teams in the last 5-6 years, that the play has, or quality of players has been watered down a little bit. You add 40 new players to the mix, teams just aren't as deep as they kind of once were. Everyone lost a top four defenseman. Everyone lost a, you know, middle six forward. That those things begin to have a compounding effect after years, and might even change a little bit more if the NHL expands in the future.
It would be crazy to think that of all the big four, that the NHL would be the team looking at pushing to 34 markets, not 32.
Well, when when you can't generate new meaningful revenue in organic ways, the only way you can really begin to fill your pockets is by asking people to write checks for $1 billion to join your league.
And not there's not a whole tree of Ryan Smiths that can be shaken and just have billionaires and owners interested in these franchises.
There's at least two more that would fall out and hit the ground.
Is this because we've seen just ridiculous returns for sports franchises now? Like, this is a good investment opportunity, or we're just seeing a different brand 100% come in?
Just, these are the smartest guys in business. One, there's a very limited supply of teams. There's, call it 135 in all of the major four North American pro sports. Two, they're insanely good investments. Alex Mariello bought the Arizona Coyotes in 2019 for $300 million. He just sold them this week for $1 billion. Where else can you get that kind of return on your cash 3.5 times in 5 years? Just doesn't exist. So it's a beautiful tax structure or shelter. It's a fun thing to root for and enjoy. And it's insanely, even if you're stroking checks for a team that's quote unquote losing money, all you're doing is really just writing a check to yourself, because you're going to get it back in your franchise valuation.
Well, I'm excited to see how this all translates to Salt Lake City. I think there's a lot of curiosity behind that, and in terms of what kind of sports market it can be. There's been a small hockey footprint there for a reasonable amount of time. But to me, the most exciting part about this is Ryan and Ashley Smith and the ownership group seeming to want to invest in the community as a hockey market. And we talk about the Jazz already being there, but my understanding, Frank, is that a lot of the season ticket base that they built up yesterday for whatever the Utah franchise is going to be, a lot of those are new. They're not the same people that hold season tickets with the Jazz. That's a good sign to me.
Yeah, I think, look, I've had zero doubt that this is going to be successful. It's one of the fastest growing markets. It's wealthy. It's affluent. It's a winter sports town. It's everything that you probably want if you're the NHL. And more than that, the league has proven that in order to be successful, you don't need to have the biggest market. You don't need to have the most glamorous arena. You need to have a stable ownership group that invests. And seems like they've gotten that in Salt Lake City and checked a lot of those boxes. So I don't have any reason to believe that this won't be a home run in Utah.
I can't wait to see the branding. I'm voting for the Yetis. Frank, I appreciate your time once again on Friday night.
No, you can't do that.
What?
It can't be Yetis. It's got to be Yeti.
Oh, no. This is like the elk versus elks. Okay, I'm glad we nipped that in the bud. It's a Yeti. There's no multiple. Yes. There's one.
It's like deer. You don't say deers. You say, hey, I have a deer.
That is written down. Okay. Utah Yeti, we're waiting on it. Frank, you're the man. Thank you so much.
Talk to you soon, Brennan.
All right, that's Frank Saravalli joining us, as he does twice a week for our friends at Horse Racing Alberta. The horse is back at Century Mile on May 4th, just a couple of weeks away from right now. And hey, you're invited to join New West Travel on an Avalon River cruise next March. Explore Southeast Asia as you discover Vietnam, Cambodia, and Thailand. Your 19-day tour includes a 7-night river cruise with gourmet meals, fine wine, daily tours as well. You'll be immersed in the cultures and ancient traditions as you sightsee and spend time in the most fascinating places along the mighty Mekong River. Book by May 31st and save $1,300 per person. For full details, contact New West Travel at newwesttravel.com. Call a quick timeout. Lots of your texts I want to get to. 780-496-0063. What's the highlight of the Oilers' regular season in your mind?
Hi, this is Connor McDavid from your Edmonton Oilers, and you're listening to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer on 630 CHED.
Lots going on here at 780-496-0063, and kind of a myriad of different highlights for people. Richard says from the season it would include all of the personal bests and goals and assists for various players and that 16-game winning streak. That was such a party. Oil Drenched again says, how about the D-pairing success of Ekholm and Bouchard? That was pretty important. Big L says the surprise coaching change. The Oilers improved the team's defensive game, and then the emphasis on chasing down the Pacific Division title. Another one from Dez here says one highlight for me is Brett Kulak's attitude, demeanor, and his play this year. Farmer Ed's sucking up a little bit, but I don't mind it. He says Brendan, the highlight of this year was listening to you on Oilers Now. Thanks, Ed. I appreciate that very much. Pedro's Huevos is texting us out of Three Hills, Alberta. He said the highlight was definitely Connor Brown's goal. It showed Edmonton's class and the team's belief in the teammates. The upcoming 16-game winning streak over the next 2 months is going to be the highlight for me. Well, I can assure you they're not going to win 16 consecutive. I think you're going to hear Reed Wilkins echo the sentiment that they'd better just win one, because winning the first one has plagued this team going back to, well, it predates me. They haven't won a game one since 1990. I came along a handful of years after that. But for this other texter here, 100 assists for McDaddy. That would be Connor, just in case there was any ambiguity. And do I have any concerns, says Justin, about Stuart Skinner's performance last night? Absolutely not. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, they kind of set the goaltender up to fail, didn't they? I mean, but for Nurse and CeCe, they didn't have anybody else in the lineup who could skate with what Colorado brought. And the Avalanche brought their entire, you know, glutton of top stars, and Edmonton was hanging on with literally less than the required amount of players to play. I think they played a forward short last night. So no, I'm not at all worried about Skinner's performance. I would have been maybe if they didn't get him out of there and stop the shell shocking, but he didn't play the final 40 minutes. I think they're good. But fair enough. Fair enough on the concern from Justin. I'm going to give the text just because he's calling himself Pedro's Huevos. I love that. That's, to me, that's going to go into today's draw for the text of the week, where winners receive 3 months of washes at Bob's favorite car wash, Great White Car Wash, 10004 169th Street. But I want to keep hearing from you, 780-496-0063. The highlight of the year. For me, it honestly might be Connor Brown's goal, simply because of the crowd reaction. If you were in the building that night, you would understand why. Grand scheme of things, pretty insignificant moment, although he's really turned it around since then. But it does lead me there. Anyway, we have a lot coming up on the other side of a Global News weather traffic update with Randy Kilburn. First, Bob and Marty McSorley in conversation, and then our NHL insider, John Shannon.